Apple's focus on profits. Pinterest invades the app world. Growl 2.0, Instagram 3.0, and good news for Fox movie fans. It's Friday, August 17th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning and welcome to another edition of iWeek. My apologies for yesterday's show where I had some messed up audio levels. I was experimenting with a new setup and hopefully all the kinks are fixed today. With that said, first up today is Apple's incredible stock price. It seems the market is reacting to the soon-to-launch iPhone 5 and Apple's new dividend program. Apple's stock shot up to an incredible $636.34. This is the highest in Apple's history. I'd speculate many bought because of Apple's dividend program, which paid out to holders yesterday $2.34, I believe, something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the figure. Just to know that Apple is paying out dividends now, and that's a new thing for Apple. Meanwhile, it seems that John Browett is not what we all hoped he was. At first, he seemed like a perfect fit for Apple. He was implementing many great things for Apple employees and was doing a pretty good job. Browett seems to be more focused on profits now than Apple customers or even Apple employees. If you haven't heard, there were reports that recent hires at Apple stores were being laid off, followed by claims they weren't. These claims are now being explained as a reversal policy enacted by Apple's new retail vice president, John Browett, and in an attempt to cut costs and raise profits within the retail segment. According to Apple Insider, Browett felt the stores were too bloated with employees and began making cuts despite strong worded advice from retail segment veterans that reducing personnel ahead of the annual back-to-school promotion and the September introduction of the iPhone 5 could create a customer service catastrophe. Browett reportedly ordered Apple Store managers to cease all recruiting and hiring events, stop making promotions, lay off all new hired Apple employees still in their probationary period, reduce available hours for part-time employees, reduce or eliminate overtime and layoff or fire employees who can only work more than 32 hours a week. Browett said Apple's retail outlets need to learn to run leaner in all areas, even if the customer experience is compromised. Whew. This is a sad thing to report. Very sad. The Apple Store was a special place and still is, I hope, for many of the stores. John Browett could very well screw up a great thing. Apple needs to stay focused on profits. Apple needs to be focused on people, not profits, as John Browett wants to be. We buy Apple products in large part because of the great Apple Store experience. These ideas coming out of Browett's head, quite frankly, scare me and make me more hesitant to recommend Apple devices. I recommend Apple in large part because of the great support given at the Apple retail stores. If this goes away, then, well, there is one more reason to go to Android or Windows. The Apple Store and Apple support is a huge reason I recommend Apple products. Apple, John Browett, please put your focus back on people and away from profits. The profits will come, as you've seen, if you do the right thing for the consumer. Surprise and delight customers again. This is a slippery slope. Let's hope Browett realizes the error of his ways. A sad, sad story indeed. Well, let's move on to some happier news. And what is the happier news? Well, first up is Pinterest and just general app news. They've got some new apps for Pinterest and an updated iPhone app. According to Macworld, Pinterest announced new apps for Apple's iPad and announced an update for the iPhone and also a new app for the Android smartphones. So for iPhone users, what do you get with this updated app? Well, iPhone users get a redesigned app featuring a two-column layout that lets users see more pins. Exciting there, I guess. iPad owners get the best experience for Pinterest on a mobile device with their new and redesigned app. The iPad app offers users a new way to engage with pins, I should say. Whether swiping the screen to resume browsing after viewing a board, or using the embedded browser to see what others are pinning from their favorite sites. Pretty cool stuff. I'm not a Pinterest user, but I can understand why people use it. These apps look pretty sweet. They're available now in the App Store. And if you're using Android, there's an app there as well in the Play Store. So speaking of social networks, is Twitter. The company unveiled it will be locking down third-party services even more. So Twitter, as many have known, are continuing to lock down their service and do some things that just aren't generally in the right here for developers. So according to Macworld, the new rules for Twitter developers must adhere to on three new areas. So first off, every API call must authenticate itself. Certain API calls will be more limited, while others will now be more accessible more frequently. And most significantly, third-party Twitter apps must be subject to significantly more stringent limits on what they can do and how they can grow. So the first change should not affect most people, as any legitimate developer will authenticate its requests. The second change is a fairly big one. Individual apps were previously limited to 350 combined API calls per hour. This limit will be now reduced to 60 calls per hour. That is a limit per user per app. Twitter says 60 calls will be well above the needs of most apps built against the Twitter API. Some high-volume endpoints, however, like the API calls for pulling tweets, that is new tweets, displaying profiles, searching users, will have significantly higher limits, up to 720 calls per hour. So I agree with Twitter. 60 calls per hour should be plenty. That is, of course, you're live tweeting something, which many people do on, say, Apple event days. 60 tweets per hour is kind of what it sounds like. I'm not sure what other calls would have to be made. So that's that. The third change is a rather big one. According to Macworld, any new app that would aim to serve more than 100,000 individual users' needs would need Twitter's permission first. In other words, if you want to build a new Twitter client, which the company already advises you against, you'll need the company's sign-off ahead of time. Existing apps that exceed the 100,000 user limit are not getting shut down. Rather, Twitter is implementing a different user limit on them. Those apps can in total support precisely double the limit of users they had as of August 16th. Once they hit that number, no further users are supported, at least not without Twitter's permission. That means that existing third-party Twitter apps have a ceiling now, a set number of users supported by the app. Once they hit the maximum number of users that Twitter will allow, they can no longer ensure that they will be able to welcome in new customers. That is not really developer-friendly. This news is really worrisome. I do use the official Twitter app, so I most likely won't be affected, but Twitter is supposed to be an open thing, or that's what I want it to be at least. Third-party Twitter apps is what made it the success it is, in my opinion. It feels to me a bit off and a bit anti-user. I hope Twitter recognizes the need of its users, need for third-party apps. We do need third-party apps. Twitter, don't shut them down. Thanks again to Macworld for their wonderful analysis of these changes. You can read the full article over at macworld.com, and it's linked to over in the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. Speaking of Twitter, is a new publishing platform by the Twitter co-founders. It's called Medium at medium.com. The aim is to inject collaboration into web publishing and distance it from print publishing practices. They also want to raise the quality of content. So Medium organizes content into buckets of category, each with its own theme and template, providing context for both contributors and visitors. Posting content to Medium is right now limited to a hand-selected group of contributors, but the owners plan to open it more broadly in the near future. People with a Twitter account can sign into Medium and rate content right now. So that's what we know. I'm not sure what my take on this is quite yet. It's interesting, but it's still too much in beta to get a feel if it'll be any good. So next up is Growl 2.0. The SDK is now out, and an updated app is expected soon for the Mac. So what is Growl 2.0 all about? Well, Growl, as many of you know, is an alternative to Apple's Notification Center for the Mac. It's been around for a very, very long time. 5 years, probably, at least. I forget how old it is. So Growl 2.0, according to The Verge, uses Apple's Notification Center for its visual notifications, providing a way for developers to take advantage of the Mountain Lion feature while utilizing Growl's APIs. Additionally, the software development kit includes improvements to the Mist positioning system while fixing a variety of bugs along the way. The SDK is out now, so developers can update their Growl apps for the new Growl. I'm not a huge fan of Growl, but understand why people like it. The new Growl should be out fairly soon. Last up in App News is a new version of Instagram. It's now at version 3.0. So what's in version 3.0? Well, the big change is you're able to view your photos on a map. Visit your profile and tap Photo Map to select which of your photos will be viewable on the map. So that's a pretty big thing and a pretty cool thing to be able to see your photos that way. So you can say, hey, I was down at Diamond Head. What photos did I take over at Diamond Head? I could do that. I could see, oh, I was in, say Chicago. I could see what photos I took there. It also has a redesigned profile screen, a redesigned upload screen, design improvements throughout the app, infinite scrolling on photo feeds, flag inappropriate comments, and bug fixes and in performance improvements. Fairly big update, but I'm still waiting on multiple account support. It's just not there, which is a sad thing indeed. So let's close out the show today with some entertainment news. So entertainment news, what is going on in the entertainment world? So first up is some information about HBO and Fox. And this is news that should delight many people if you're like me. People like me like Fox movies and like to buy them in iTunes. Currently, that can be a bit of an issue because any movie playing on HBO is generally not available in iTunes. One big example of this is Aliens, which was once in iTunes and is now gone. So Fox and HBO have a new deal in place that involves a softening of the electronic sell-through window, which likely means that Fox movies that were previously unavailable for purchase online should be made available sooner. The new deal reportedly will apply for both existing and future movies, although the earlier electronic release dates will only apply to purchases, not rentals. A nice step forward, and hopefully other companies will follow suit. So last up on the show today is about the rumored Apple TV. So we've got some more information, this time from the Wall Street Journal. Once again, I should mention these are rumors and nothing confirmed as of yet. So first off, a significant feature of the Apple set-top box is likely to be its user interface, which could resemble the navigation icons on Apple's iPad. While design may change, the interface is expected to be easier for people to use than existing cable on-screen menus, widely viewed as clunky. So far, nothing new. The current Apple TV has an interface exactly as he speaks about. Next, Apple's device may create space on the TV screen for social media features, such as sharing TV shows through services like Twitter. Apple also wants users to be able to access content from the device on other Apple products like iPhones and iPads. Very logical, and that makes sense. The big report here, though, is that Apple aims to make it so viewers can watch any show at any time via a cloud-based DVR that would store TV shows online. The service would be designed so viewers could begin streaming the show minutes after it began airing live. And basically, these shows would be recorded automatically without you having to record them yourself, because Apple records them in one place for everybody. This would be very cool and a nice step forward, kind of like how Apple progressed the music industry along its natural path. Hopefully, Apple can do something in the TV space. I enjoy the iTunes method of cord cutting and buying what I need, but a more mainstream solution is needed for most people, as people still like their darn stupid cable subscriptions. So that's that. Before closing out the show today, I want to remind everyone that, today being Friday, that another edition of I Wake Again is airing this weekend. I Wake Again is for those that appreciate I Wake. The $10 a month subscription gives you a 30-minute audio show or more or less every Saturday as a way to wake up to I Wake Again. Provides you a way to pay for the Monday through Friday show, that most of you get for free. So if you feel iWake is worth 25 cents a day, that's about the math it turns out to, then head on over and join the iWake Again community. You can find more information about this over at iWakePodcast.com/again. Once again, it's iWakePodcast.com/again. So with that $10 a month subscription, you get extra content. You also get access to the scripts that I read from to do this. So you're able to search through the scripts and get easier access to the news that way. And it's all available at iWakePodcast.com/again. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. That will do this week for some of us, but not everyone. As I just said, I will get in subscribers. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Everyone else, I will talk to you again on Monday. With that said, have a great weekend. And just go out there and have a fun weekend. I'll talk to everyone else on Monday. Aloha.